This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه. You join with me, Halima, on Internal Conflicts on Unity FM 93.5. So, inshallah, today's topic is a bit of a hot topic, and I'm hoping to discuss when we have that decision that we have to make, but it's really tough. And we know our Islamic values, and hopefully, inshallah, we have our Islamic values by our side. And then we go through various internal conflicts, and we have to make that decision, whether it's at work, whether it's at university, whether it's in terms of having a relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He consistently and He continuously, He puts us through situations that cause us to reflect. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can differentiate whether we are in a way most beloved to Him, and even more so whether we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we're going to speak about today. And inshallah, we have a guest today, and her name is, some of you may know, and for some of you who are local, you may not know, because she's not a born and bred Brummy like myself. However, she's like Sister Megan. She is from the USA, and mashallah, her name is Zahra Sarwari, and she holds a BA in psychology, a master's degree in business administration, and she is currently working towards a BA in Islamic studies. And generally, when you hear that, you think, subhanallah, the sister's educated so much. And we have this stereotype that when a sister's so educated, she's generally not a mother, and she just generally doesn't have kids. And Sister Zahra Sarwari, she kind of breaks the stereotype, and she breaks it well. Zahra Sarwari, she also homeschools her four children. She homeschools them. And mashallah, one of her daughters, her name's Alia. We had her recently. I had her recently in terms of my own, in my own organization. And mashallah, she's just a young child. And you will see her speak about Islam, and it's quite inspirational. And also, she speaks internationally. She came to the UK recently for a tour, actually. She writes books, and also she creates curriculums. She creates curriculums for those mothers and even fathers who are homeschooling their children, and she coaches sisters and the youth. And I'm hoping, inshallah, Sister Zahra will discuss various things. And I was inspired to have this program, and also to have Sister Zahra on, because she was telling us a story. She was telling us a story, and she told us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blessed her with an education. He blessed her with a job. He blessed her with individuals who gave her everything in terms of wealth, in terms of materialism. She was given everything. And at that same time, they had a mortgage. They had stuff that would not be deemed Islamic, and they had a choice whether they should have it or not. And at that time, Zahra, she was put through that decision. Should I continue my lifestyle? Or for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do I go through some hardship, and do I give it all up and go towards that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And she made the right decision. She made the right decision. And Sister Zahra Sarwari, she told us how she left it all, and they did suffer financially. However, in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her once again. Why? Because she made the right decision. And also the purpose of the show, and I wanna speak about the purpose, because as per usual, and I always say this as a disclaimer, we don't get time to discuss everything, and we're not going to. And that's why, inshallah, the purpose of today's show is we wanna give you confidence that in the short term you will make, and you will have to make compromises. In the short term, you will have to. However, the long-term return in this life and the hereafter, it's amazing. It's great. And that's the point. And we don't want to, like, preach to you guys. Generally, you're always hearing Islamic lectures. We don't want to do that. We want to practicalize everything. And just like one of, when if you are into the gym and you're into personal fitness, they'll say in the morning, you know, you get up in the morning and you go for a jog and you exercise. And you're like, okay, you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's ordained Fajr. It's, we generally have somebody else telling us that something is right. And then we're like, you know what? Islam, it's kind of right. It's, that's not the way it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed everything. So it meets our life. And in the end, we're happy. So I am going to see if we have Sister Zahra with us. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Zahra.
Yes, assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was like, I got a bit worried there. I'm like, oh my God, it's Sister Zahra not here. It's really happy to hear your voice, actually. MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah, likewise for you, dear sister.
And I always say, we had Megan on last week, and I told the story of how we met in 2008 back in Canada. And it's such a blessing to know that, mashallah, the sisters we're inviting on Unity FM, I've kind of met them, even though you two are the very few, but it's an honor to have you on today.
It's an honor to be here, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So I gave them your introduction, and I want to get straight into Zahra. I have a few questions for you, and we want to make it interactive. So if you're happy, I'll ask you the questions. But before we do that, the discussion is Deen over Dunya. Do you have anything to say to our viewers before we continue?
No, let's get started, inshallah.
Okay, bismillah. So the first question we have is, why do you think it's so hard to compromise when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us Jannah? So we know we have paradise, but people are still falling short in their promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you think that is, Zahra?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. All right, my dear sister, the reason that we cannot compromise is because we can't see it. Even though it is such a big return and Jannah is, words cannot explain how great Jannah is, subhanAllah. I mean, we know that, you know, there's so much information in the Quran and Hadith, but it's still so, mashallah, I mean, like, we could never imagine it. That's how great it is. But because we cannot see it, and it's not tangible for us physically, we can't, you know, put, like, a picture to it, put our fingers on it. What happens is we just kind of, like, put it in the back burner. See, you know, people could see money, so they'll work hard for money. People could see a beautiful home, so they'll work hard for it. They could see good-looking people as far as getting married and saying, oh, okay, I want a spouse like that. They could see degrees as being these papers they can hang on their walls, right? They could see these things. They could see children. So the things they can see, that's what people tend to want to work for. The things they can't see, they just kind of say, okay, well, I'll just leave it till later. I can't see it, so it must, you know, it must not be that important or that big. Or they're not thinking enough about it, and so it just kind of is put on the side.
Yeah, and you reminded me of a verse from the Quran, and I don't think we return to the Quran enough. And everybody knows this, even though they don't know much Quran, and that is, which of the favors of your Lord can you deny? In Surah Ar-Rahman. And just like you've said, we see everything, and sometimes we forget that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gave it to us. And we compromise. And one thing, Zahra, before you came on, I told them the story. MashaAllah, when you came down with Mercy Mission, I was down in Birmingham when you did a session for them online, and you mentioned the story of, you know, your personal experience. So my next question to you is, in life, have you been through any experiences which have changed your life due to the compromises you made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Oh, yes. I definitely have. You know, back about, I'd like to say, 6 years, almost 6.5 years ago, you know, about 6.5 years ago, almost 7 years ago, I actually had a mortgage business, which was a business with riba and interest. And I, you know, I had gotten my broker's real estate license. I was doing real estate, and I was in the mortgage business. And I really had no clue that riba that I was dealing with was really haram. You know, I had heard, you know, here and there you hear things like this is haram, but you don't understand it because riba and interest, they weren't like always together. And I saw so many Muslims in the business. I just didn't think, okay, there's no way if everyone's in the business, including sisters who wore hijab and brothers with beards, if there's no way if this was haram, everyone would be in the business, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't make any sense to me. So, you know, with that being said, you know, I'm in the business, and the housing business is booming. I bought myself some homes, you know, was using credit cards, we actually bought a condo, like in a hotel room in Las Vegas on the Strip, right? I mean, subhanAllah, it was just, when you go down, you're going really down. You don't even understand it. You're thinking you're going up because you're getting all these things, subhanAllah, in dunya, but you have no clue and you can't understand it. And, you know, and here's the irony, was my daughter was enrolled in an Islamic school, subhanAllah, and it was one of the best schools. And people were familiar that I was in this business. And there was other people whose, you know, parents were in this business. But nobody had come up and told me, look, sister, you know, this is haram. And, you know, I don't think you should do this. Maybe you should go into halal income. And, you know, nobody really sat me down to explain anything. I mean, they were aware of it. And so I just didn't think anything bad of it, right? So I'm in this business. And I'm thinking I've got, you know, I've got two nannies. I've got three homes. I've got everything. SubhanAllah, what's the problem? But it was then that I realized that, you know, I had a hole in my heart, that the degrees, the homes, the money, nothing satisfied me. I wasn't happy with it. And I couldn't understand why. And so I started seeking psychological help and trying to see if I talked to counselors or whatever, because I was studying for two doctorate degrees in psychology. So automatically I'm thinking psychology must be it, right? Hmm. And I'm going through all of this and still I'm not finding my answers. And I realized it was because I didn't know my deen and I didn't understand Islam, and I wasn't practicing, and I all that. And so that's when I actually turned around and started, you know, studying Islam a little bit here and there, and I made the decision to wear the hijab, alhamdulillah. And after this, it was my first Ramadan. I was very embarrassed because, you know, I was working on two doctorate degrees, and I'd never read the Quran with meaning. And I said, inshallah, this Ramadan, I'm going to read the Quran with meaning. And so I made that niyyah, and my husband and I would be driving to and back from work, and I would read it out loud so he could also hear and listen. And it was when I was on, you know, when I came across the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, you know, the ayah that says, oh, you who believe, be afraid of Allah and give up what remains due to you from riba, yushri, and from now on outward if you're really believers. And if you do not, then take notice of war with Allah and His messengers. And I stopped at that and I said, what? Wait. If we're dealing with riba, we're going to be at war with Allah and His messenger? And I couldn't understand it. And I was like, no, this is not the riba I'm dealing with. I kept giving myself that excuse. And it was then that I called my dad when I got to the office. And I called my father and I said, Dad, you know, that one friend of yours who graduated from a university in, you know, Saudi Arabia, and he speaks Arabic fluently and all. I said, can you give me his number? I really want to talk to him. He's a scholar and I want to ask him about this ayah of the Quran. And so my father said, all right. And so I called him and I said, you know what, you know, I've got this mortgage business and this, that, and I didn't understand this ayah of the Quran. Can you explain this to me? Does this have anything to do with the interest that I'm dealing with, which is like mortgage, credit cards, student loans, and, you know, this, is this the same or is this different? And he just paused because I think he was just overwhelmed with my question to me here on that. And he said, yeah, this is the same interest. The interest in the homes and the credit cards and all that. And I said, what? I was shocked. I was shocked. And I said, this is the same interest? And why are all these Muslims dealing with interest if this is haram and we're going to be at war with Allah? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, a lot of them maybe don't know, but the ones who don't know, they just, you know, think it's okay or they have enough time to repent. And I was still just like, what? I couldn't understand. I mean, I was shocked. And I was like, and I looked at my husband after I hung up the phone. I said, who's going to win that war? Was Allah? Like, I mean, I know I don't know a lot about the deen at that time. I hadn't a lot of information. You know, I was just learning to listen to lectures. But I did know that no one would win the war if they were with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, there's no way that anyone's going to win this war. And I just, you know, I couldn't sleep. And it, alhamdulillah, it was the month of Ramadan. I went to Taraweeh that night, and I kept thinking, and I couldn't sleep. And finally, I woke up the next morning, and I looked at my husband, and I said, I'm done. I want out of this. And he said, done with what? I said, I'm done with this business, the homes, this interest thing. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And he goes, okay, honey, let's just slowly pay off our debts, inshallah. And then, you know, we're gonna go and I'll get a job. And I was like, no. I can't wait for that. I said, I'm done now. I want to give it up now. I don't want to deal with it. I mean, I'd rather live on the streets than live on this and be at war with Allah. At least if I let it go, and we start to pay it off, at least then Allah knows that, you know, we're doing something. But I can't do this. I said, this is like, you know, this is wrong. And so, I made that decision. And, you know, alhamdulillah, he was very supportive. And, you know, he understood. And he said, all right, then inshallah, I'm going to put my resume out and I'll go back into engineering and we'll do this, you know. And I said, yeah, whatever we have to do, I don't care. You know, I don't care about anything. I just want to go the right path. I've been on the wrong path and I don't want to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this. And it was after this that when I made this decision and I started to sell the stuff and from the house, and I was telling my family this, they all thought I was crazy. They thought I was having a mental breakdown, like what's wrong with her? She's so crazy. It's okay. You know, some scholars say it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. Just do it slowly. And then I was like, no. And literally, you know, it was like, okay, in a matter of a month, I think we let go of the nannies and put the houses for sale. And one of the houses went for short sale, and the other two went into foreclosure because the market just started going down. And we put up his resume, and I begged Allah. I didn't care where we moved, what happened, just give us a halal income and let us get back on the right track and let us try paying our debts off and all that. And, you know, I didn't care about anything except doing the right thing. And subhanAllah, you know, I want to bring a point in here. You know, we did this about 5.5 years ago now that we walked away from everything. And we gave it up and we had no income, no job, nothing, you know, literally. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened that door and he made it possible by giving my husband a halal income and helping us move. So I do want you to know that we walked forward without having anything to hold on except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he did make it possible for us, subhanAllah.
And you've answered my question, but I was just going to ask you, like, was it worth it? And I'm guessing it was. I'm guessing it
yes,
was.
Yes, and I'll tell you, if you keep probing into this, I'll tell you, inshallah, why it was worth it.
Okay, why don't you tell us, actually? I've heard this story before, but every time I hear it, it kind of gets to me, and it gives me that motivation that, inshallah, irregardless of what happens to me in life or our audience, we will get through it. So why don't you tell us, Zahra?
Okay. So I want to lead this to the, you know, what advice I would give to everyone, you know, yeah, to the sisters and brothers, to everyone that's listening out there, to thinking, you know, can I just take a leap of faith and just move forward without having anything to hold on except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can I do this? And I say, yes, my dear sisters and brothers. Choose your deen, and wallahi, I swear to you that inshallah ta'ala, if it is meant for you, Allah will give you the dunya. He will give it to you should you strive for it, work hard, and keep working at it in your way. Allah will help you, inshallah. But choose the deen. Because I tell you, you know, at the time when we walked away from all of this, which was, you know, 6 years ago now, a little bit more than 6 years, but, you know, for us to move over here and find another job has been 5.5 years. You know, from all of this to happen is that we went in debt about $200,000. Forget losing the houses and everything. We went in debt. And I thought, oh, my goodness, for the rest of my life, we'll never be able to pay off this debt because this is a lot of money. And how are we going to do this? And so when we moved to this next state where my husband got a job, we had no family, no friends, nobody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's about 7 hours away by plane from our family. And so my family, who I've never moved away from, I'm now far away, 7 hours in the plane. And I didn't care about any of it except that I wanted to please Allah and I wanted to do the right thing. And so when we did this, we left two incomes for one income. And all I wanted to do was I wanted pay our debt off, and I wanted us to go to Hajj, and I just wanted Allah's forgiveness, and I wanted us to, and I wanted to do it this way. And so, but when we came here, and I said, look, I'm going to put my kids in the Islamic school, inshallah, and then I'm going to get a job too, so we have two incomes and halal incomes, and then we'll pay off our debt first. But what happened was, when I came here, I wasn't very impressed with the Islamic schools, and I wanted my kids to memorize the Quran, inshallah, and I wanted them to become scholars of Islam and have so much more in life. And I realized that this would not happen even with the Islamic schools, so I decided to homeschool. So again, I made a decision for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said, you know, Ya Rabbi, I'm going to do this for you because this is for the deen, this is for this. And we had one income, my dear sister and brother, one income, okay, to pay off our debt and live, right? And subhanAllah, let me tell you, in the 5 years, inshallah, subhanAllah, what happened? Not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us pay off our debt, except with the IRS, whom we still owe every year, but that's a whole new game. But that doesn't really count technically because we didn't borrow money from them. We just have to pay them because it's tax and stuff. But except them, our car payments, our student loans, everything else, Allah Azza wa Jalla helped us out with this one income. And not only that, I was able to start not only homeschool my children from home and take care of them and help raise them the right way, but I was able to start my own business, and I was able to write 11 books, mashallah, 3 curriculums, and speak and do all these other things, mashallah. And a lot, you know, and whatever, any income I made would be actually going back into putting into this and doing more for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I'm telling you is when we left the dunya, what we got in return, subhanAllah, in 5 years is more than I could have ever imagined, which was that writing the books and the curriculums and my children writing 10 books together, mashallah. And, you know, coming back to not the most important part was having our debt, alhamdulillah, paid off with us. And this was the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a miracle. And with that being said, this year, my husband and I went to Hajj, subhanAllah. So I would say in a heartbeat, I would jump for this again in my life.
And that's so amazing. Like, I was just thinking, okay, did they go to Hajj? And you're like, 5 years down the line, it happened. And it was, and I'm just thinking, subhanAllah, not 1 year, not 2 years, but now. And you're on Unity FM and you can share that story. But you remind me of an ayat, and it's in Surah At-Talaq, and it's verse 65, and we all know this. And if you don't know this, open up the Quran and you'll see it. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us again and again, and He says, Allah will grant a way out for anyone who heeds Him. So if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is hearing you, and He will provide for him in a manner he could never have anticipated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for anyone who relies on Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accomplish His purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted everything in due proportion. And I'm just thinking the Hajj, it was meant to happen. It was meant to come. MashaAllah. And before that, actually, and we're going to have a break in a little while, but it's a question, it's a separate question, actually, Zahra. A lot of sisters, they're in university, they're gaining their degrees. What advice do you have to these sisters and even brothers about their vision in life? It's another question, but I'm just thinking about it, and I'm like, you're the perfect person to ask.
I would say, you know, the vision that you have in life should be circulated around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever your vision is, whether you want to be a doctor, an engineer, and what is your purpose in serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this? How will you be serving Him? In what way, shape, or form? And make sure that everything you're doing, your whole life it should be, you know, around what our deen is. And Islam is a way of life. It's not just a buffet style. We pick and choose what we want and we ignore what we don't want. You know, it's a way of life that we go forward. So for everyone who wants to, you know, so much from dunya, then I tell you, my dear sisters and brothers, first learn your deen. First learn your deen, and then go after the dunya. Because when you do go after for it, you'll have the intention, the motivation and stuff. Do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless it for you. But know your deen. You know, just going out there, and I can't tell you how many people in the live events that I've given just alone this year, mashallah. I was in Singapore, I was in the UK, I was in Canada. Everywhere I've been going, mashallah, I cannot tell you how many doctors and engineers and lawyers have come up to me after my talks and have told me that, you know what, I feel like I almost wasted all of that time because what I'm doing is not appropriate in Islam. And now I have to, like, restructure my life. And what comes down to is going, you should know your deen so you can know how to structure your life the right way the first time, because we don't know how long we have to live. We don't know. So don't think, you know, just the dunya. Think about, is what I'm doing going to benefit me inshallah in akhirah? And if it's not, then I cross it off right away. I wouldn't even be wasting my time on it. If everything you're doing, if there's something you're doing that is not going to benefit your akhirah, then there's no reason you should be doing it.
Okay, Jazakallah khairan. I'm just thinking that, and I'm like, subhanAllah, how much time do we waste? And I'm going to end there because we have a break coming up. But Zahra, stay with us. And inshallah, I have another few interesting questions. But before I end, I want to just give you the studio text number so you can text in. And that is 07926 843 88, and I'll say that again, 07926 843 88. And inshallah, let us know, call us in on 01217728795, and we will take your questions. And inshallah, we shall see you after the break. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا. If you just joined in now, you're listening to me, Halima, on Unity FM 93.5. And we have Sister Zahra in today, Sister Zahra Sarwari from the USA. And I've been speaking about Sister Zahra, to Sister Zahra in regards to Deen over Dunya, and she shared her experience. But I wanted to mention an ayat, and I wanted Sister Zahra's take on it. So inshallah, it's a hope and a means of inspiration for you all, and even myself. And the ayat is in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves by committing evil deeds and sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and he's telling us that, you know, those of you who make mistakes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes further and he says, despair not the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily I forgive all sins. Truly he is oft forgiving, the merciful. And that's in Surah 39. Verse 53, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's giving us hope. But Sister Zahra Sarwari, she spoke about where they're deep into the mortgage business, they're deep into falling in these problems. So Zahra, the question to you is, at any moment of time, did you lose hope in all the mistakes you made?
No, subhanAllah, I didn't. One thing is for sure is, I would read the hadith and ayat of the Quran, and I knew that if someone sincerely repented and they changed, not continued with those same mistakes, they changed, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would help them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you walk to me, I'll run to you. And the point of it was that we need to change. We need to change ourselves first before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us. And he says that in the Quran as well, there's an ayat of the Quran that, you know, he can't help us unless we do something ourselves. And so I did not lose any hope. As a matter of fact, I have so much hope. And I knew, inshallah, things would turn around. It would just be patience, hard work, and perseverance. But every time I would listen to an ayat or, you know, a hadith, and I would just be so happy. And I'd say, Ya Rabbi, please forgive me. And I would still be very sad for my mistakes, and I would repent. But I kept smiling and saying, Ya Allah, I'm changing. I'm trying. I'm doing my best, you know. And I wanted to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I was serious and I was just not words, that my actions would show for it. So I started to, you know, implement what I was learning to show him. And I didn't want it to be one of those things where, you know, so many people, like, yeah, they just like, they'll change, but it'll be like, okay, that's enough for now. And I was like, no, the more I wanted to learn, the more I wanted to change. And so not for a moment did I lose hope. I think I would have more and more hope. And I did make this promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said, Ya Rabbi, inshallah. I said, Ya Rabbi, with your help, once this debt is paid, I said, inshallah, I want to buy a house. And I'm going to pay it off, inshallah, the halal way. And then I'm going to teach other Muslims how they could live in America, in the West, and live interest-free. That they too could have it all with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said, because I will show, inshallah. I want to learn it, do it, and then show it, inshallah ta'ala. So I'm actually in the process of that. And if Allah wills, inshallah ta'ala, I will be writing a book about how that is possible. So the point of it being was that I knew that I was at rock bottom, but the most important thing was that, you know, I was going to the right path, inshallah, and then I wanted to do everything the right way from there. So I didn't lose hope. I've never lost it. And since then, I've been telling everyone else, the moment I get an email of someone who says, you know, they're at the end of their rope and they're thinking of committing suicide because, you know, they don't think they have anything else, I'm just like, what's your phone number? Because I'm at that moment going, how can you lose hope? How can you think about suicide? There's so much for us to do, subhanAllah, and to win, and we have everything. How can we have gotten this far, astaghfirullah? And so I say that to everyone out there, never lose hope in Allah, subhanAllah. Never, ever, ever lose hope in everything else, but not Him. Work towards Him. Try your best, inshallah. He'll open every door for you, inshallah.
Inshallah, and it reminds me, with the politicians these days, we've kind of lost hope in a majority of them. Not all, but whenever you come and you're like, you know, do you trust him? You're like, no. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we say, you know, the president and the prime minister, when you go through a problem, they can't hear you and they can't solve your problem. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will, and he'll go one step further. And that leads me on to another question, which I'm quite excited about as a personal development junkie. And that question is, what mindset is essential for success in this world and the hereafter?
Having the mindset that the moment you submit, and you say, Ya Rabbi, I'm submitting myself, my entire self to you, the moment you say it with your tongue and you start showing with your actions, inshallah, then know that you will have the best of both worlds, inshallah. Knowing and then going back and knowing, reading the biographies of the messengers of Allah, alayhi salam, as well as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and all the righteous people that lived prior to us, reading their biographies, you know, learning about them, and how they were always happy regardless of what test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them through, and how they were always patient and perseverant through this, and how they saw the big picture. And by putting yourself and saying, you know what, I want to learn about the greatest people that ever lived, subhanAllah, and how they dealt with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. And then you come back and you look and you say, subhanAllah, I haven't even gone through one iota of what those people went through. What am I complaining about? What am I even whining about? Like, every time something like this comes up, you would know how to deal with it, how to react to it, and you would know how to start controlling yourself, because you would remind yourself, you know, I remember... SubhanAllah, there was like, you know, and we all have this, I'm sure. We go through some family drama here and there. I remember we had, you know, there was a family here that was having some family drama, and they had talked to me, and the father said, I disown my son for how he's behaved. I disown him, and I no longer want to talk to him, and this and that, and he's done something really bad, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he continued with this, and I looked at the father, and I said, you know, do you remember in the Quran, do you remember what happened to Yaqub alayhi salam, how his sons came and took his most beloved son, and they said that he was eaten by a wolf, and the father already didn't trust it, those sons, and now they come back with this. I said, do you remember how he dealt with it? He said, barely, I'll be patient. You know, Allah knows best, Allah knows everything, and he became patient. He didn't yell, he didn't curse, he didn't beat anyone up, he didn't go crazy. He put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and decided to be patient throughout this test. And I said, So how can you say this about your son who has not done something this severe? Yes, he's done something wrong and all that. But and how can you say this? So it comes back down to us being able to apply to our own lives and others, like when the times come and a difficult test comes our way and we think we don't know how to handle it, we go back and we reflect on it from the Quran and the Sunnah and the biographies of these great people who lived. And that's when we'll know how to deal with it, inshallah. So it is so vital. If we want to be successful in this world and in the hereafter, then we first must know who was, subhanAllah, successful in this world and in the hereafter. Who were the most righteous? Who were the ones who tried the most for the sake of Allah? And then actually follow those examples, inshallah. And I guarantee you, my dear sisters and brothers, I guarantee you, when you know those, and when it comes time for getting tested, then inshallah your reactions will be a bit different, and you will have it. And I tell you, you can say, I'm so impatient, I want more patience. Yes, you should make dua for patience. I'm not saying you shouldn't. That's the first thing we should. But you, when reflecting and thinking about these great people and how they were patient, it gives you hope. It gives you ideas. It gives you motivation. And you come back and you think, why can't I be like that, inshallah? If I want to be with these greatest people, inshallah, in Jannah and the hereafter, then I need to start acting like them, inshallah, in dunya, right?
And I agree. And on that point, one thing we do in this day and age, everybody values a personality. And the problem is we do not learn about the people of the past enough. And for example, we have amazing figures. We have people like Steve Jobs, and we have a lot of celebrity figures who are celebrity then. I don't know why they are. But you have good, you know, Steve Jobs done something absolutely amazing. Apple, you have other examples. But subhanAllah, what made them successful was their determination. It was their determination. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when you look back at their life, they conquered a lot of lands, meaning they were determined. But the biggest formula, and Zahra has touched upon that, is their righteousness. And it's not righteousness that ends on the way you dress or the way the people who you are with. Righteousness goes deep. And it's also that contentment that I'm doing the right thing. And I, going on that point, actually, Zahra, I had another question, and I'm going to change it around a little bit. There are some people that go to extremes. Either they focus too much on materialism, which I guess the process that you went through, or they kind of reject it altogether, or even more so, they don't know what is the balance. For example, we have a problem within our community, actually. For example, sisters, they may decide to have a degree and then they decide to just stay at home, be a good wife, be a good mother and bring up their children, but society rejects that. So I'm gonna cut those questions in two. One, how do you balance it out between materialism and focusing and not focusing too much on the dunya? You can answer that, inshallah, and then I'll bring in the other one.
Okay, I would say in order to, you know, not be so focused on the materialism, is you got to know. You have to have, I guess, your purpose in life. And each one of us has a purpose. We're each created for something, inshallah. And depending on where we're living and how far we could do it, each one of us, you know, could do so much with the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, you know. And this is where, like, when I wrote my first book, 9 Steps to Achieve Your Destiny, it's based on finding your purpose, who you are, and what you want to be, inshallah. So coming to that is going, you know, when you know who you are and what you stand for, then you don't care about what anyone else thinks or feels or, you know, says, except what Allah thinks. Is Allah happy with me? Is Allah pleased with me? So let's just say, you know, you go out there and you buy a dress and that's what you can afford. As long as you take care of it, it's clean, alhamdulillah. So you go back, you're living your life to what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. And then to know yourself that, you know, what I have, is it's enough for me and am I content with it? Without going into, okay, I want a house that's 5,000 square feet. Okay, if you have the money and Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed you with it, then subhanAllah, there's no reason you shouldn't have what you want. But it doesn't mean that you have to get so indulged into all that you give up the real purpose in life. For example, we actually had to move a few weeks ago, right after we came back from Hajj, subhanAllah, and we had to move, and I hate moving because it wastes so much time, personally, to me. I feel like I am not as productive because I'm always, you know, putting things away, putting things together, and it's like such a waste of time. And I remember, you know, after we moved in, after like a couple of days and I had my husband fix the internet, I was like, all right, I'm just going to do the rest of this stuff slowly. So I had boxes everywhere, and I just came back, and I was like, I'm starting my Quran class, inshallah. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I was homeschooling my kids. I had clutter still everywhere. I wasn't so, oh my God, I'm going to die if I don't get rid of all this right now. And every night I would start putting like 7-8 boxes away, and then I'd have my normal day back and, you know, focus. So it's coming back down to knowing what is your most important to you. Because I would ask myself, if I were to die today, did I do anything productive? Like, I didn't read my Quran, or I didn't, because I was too busy with the dunya and worried about organizing. Yes, that's also ibadah, don't get me wrong, but I just didn't feel like I wanted to die in that state. And so I kind of tried to figure out how you balance it. So coming back down, that's what the Prophet taught us, that we need to take the middle path. We need to be, you know, in the middle. We can't be at one extreme or the other extreme, you know. And really how I do it and how it helps me to be balanced between homeschooling, taking my own classes, and at the side working on my, you know, whether I'm giving classes or I'm making new lectures and all that, how I can do all three, and being a mom and cooking and stuff. How I do it is I have a schedule book. I have a schedule book, mashallah, and that helps me. I put my stuff on my schedule book, including exercise, including, because my health is important, because I know that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about our health. You know, what did you do with your health? Did you take care of it? And so all of this has to be in my schedule so I can try to, you know, balance that middle road. And the only way you can do this, my dear sisters and brothers, is first of all finding out who you are. What do you stand for? Is that Rolex watch really what you want in your life? I mean, you know, if we want Jannah so bad, then why are we working, you know, 80 hours a week for dunya and only working maybe half hour or 2 hours a week for akhirah? I mean, you kind of have to sit there and say, where is the balance in this? Yes, I need to work, but at the same time, what else do I need to do? So, for example, if the brothers are going and working during the day, then they also have to think, okay, I'm working, alhamdulillah, I'm making a living, taking care of my family, but can I make it to the masjid at least 3 to 5 times a day and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the masjid, you know? And what else am I doing? And so it keeps coming back down to it, is going, I've got the dunya here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing me with it, and how do I balance it with my akhirah? You know, how do I do this where maybe I can take an Arabic class in the evening twice a week? Or maybe I can take, you know, this weekend course, with Al-Kawthar, and do this with them. You know, so there's so many ways to do it, but it's always looking at your schedule and saying, is my schedule only dunya? And where am I working for akhirah in it?
Okay, I have a few questions coming in actually, and if you're okay, Zahra, I'm gonna ask them because I think they're quite interesting actually. One of those questions is, when you have a schedule book, however, I don't stick to it. So, what's the solution? I keep making a new schedule book, I keep making a list, and I just find myself falling into the same problem again and again. What answer do you have for that?
I would say first, they would need to have goals. The schedule book can't do nothing if you aren't motivated and driven to have goals and to wanting to achieve those goals. So let's just say there's a sister out there or a brother, they want to lose 20 pounds in the next 3 months. This is a goal, right? I want to lose 20 pounds in 3 months. So in order for me to do this, inshallah, I'm going to be having salad for dinner every night for the next 3 months, inshallah. And with that, I'm going to work out 30 minutes a day, inshallah. And it's going to be, you know, right this time is my best time. Let's just say, you know, right after Fajr Salah, I'm going to go and walk maybe for a half hour or go and, I don't know, do aerobics, whatever, for 30 minutes. And those two are on your schedule. Now, all of a sudden, you've got a goal. 3 months is your deadline, inshallah. And prior to 3 months, you every single day you have to do these things to make it happen. And let's just say you only do it 5 times a week, eating the salads for dinner and working out 30 minutes. It's how motivated you are. Okay, the schedule book is not going to motivate you. You've got to be motivated. The schedule book's only going to do is balance you and help you, you know, look at it and follow through and make sure you're doing it, execute it, basically.
Okay, Jazakallah Khairan. And the other question we have that came in was, Zahra, what motivates you? Because, mashallah, you seem to be in one way taking it out. You seem to be on fire. You seem to be motivated. So what is your greatest driving force?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My greatest driving force is my Lord, is my Creator, is the one who's given me everything. And for me to think, what am I doing in return for Him? What am I doing for Him? And if I don't think that I'm doing anything and I'm not giving Him anything in return, I know that none of us are promised Jannah. And we wouldn't go into Jannah even with our own good deeds. It would be by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to me, is to think, is every moment that I'm alive, I need to be doing more for Him, inshallah. Every moment that I'm alive. Because, you know, the questions we're asked on the Day of Judgment is our youth before we get old. We only have so much time left being young. And then our energy is totally gone. I know I talked to my mom on the phone. My mom's like, oh, my, you know, legs hurt, my arms hurt. I can barely cook anymore. And I'm just like, I feel so guilty and sorry that I'm so far away from my own mother. But it's also a reflection to me to think I need to do more now, inshallah, so that when that time comes, you know, I've done something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's our age, our youth, it's our health. We don't know tomorrow if we're going to wake up and walk across the street and get hit by a car and be paralyzed for the rest of our lives and not be able to do much for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know that. We don't even know if we're going to wake up tomorrow or even go to sleep tonight. So to me, my biggest motivation is, you know, I've done enough wrong. It's time to do the right thing, and it's time to do more than the right thing. If I want to be with the greatest people that lived on earth, then I better be doing something, inshallah, to reflect on that and to make a difference and to, you know, to give to the ummah, whether that's, you know, working on an invention on the side, making an online school, whatever dreams each one of us has, you got to work on it and make it, because, you know, we all say we want to be with Jannatul Firdaus, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then you got to reflect, do we belong there really? Do we deserve it? I mean, like I said, it's going to be by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but are we working hard enough to say, Ya Rabbi, I tried my best. I put in every ounce of energy that you gave me. I woke up and saying, inshallah, I'm going to do this. When it's time to sleep, or when it's time, you know, and your kids don't want to wake up for the hajj, and you're like, let's go, Habibi. Let's go. Let's get up. This is the time where you ask Allah for whatever you want. It's coming back down to my motivation is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for Him to be happy with me. And that should I die, inshallah, I die with Him being happy with me. And I think that's really... if that is your motivation and that is, then inshallah you will jump up much faster, because if you want to lose weight to fit into the dress and look good for other people, you might not be as motivated. But if you want to lose weight because of your health and because you want to look good for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you know you're going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment, this, it's a bit more motivating, because you know you'll be asked this question. And what can you say? I had so much food available, I just couldn't control myself. It doesn't make enough sense, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have a good enough answer.
You're kind of motivating us all to go on that diet again, Zahra. So it's I'm feeling somewhat guilty. We actually have a health show just before this show. I was listening to it last week, and I'm like, subhanAllah, I should come in earlier. But that leads me on to another question, actually. And it's mentioned on what you, and it's these other questions we have coming in, and that is in regards to peer pressure. So we're speaking about deen over dunya, but there is so much pressure. There's pressure for, in regards to, you know, get that degree, then there's the pressure that you have to work for that degree, then it's the pressure of getting the house, looking the part, and also for the brothers is, you know, going and getting that job that you have to feed a family, and sometimes compromises are made. So what advice do you give in regards to peer pressure, all ages, whether you have youth, to those who are married and those who are grandparents, as they may say?
I say, you know, stay away from people who are going to make you feel that way. You know, stay away from that. Be only amongst the people who are going to make you feel good and bring you back to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from us. You know, your companions are who you're going to become like, right? Mm-hmm. And so pick the right companion so you don't feel that way. I think, you know, it's not difficult for us to fall into peer pressure because, you know, so-and-so got this or so-and-so got that or this or that, you know. And especially for our youth. It's hardest, for, I think, for our youth because they're so... you know, being cultivated and being modeled and, you know, starting to find their own personalities. And so I think coming back down to it is find your own identity and don't live for people, live for Allah. You know, don't live. So what if someone has a house and they have all the most beautiful curtains in it? So what? And to me, the way I look at it, you know, I remember I was going through, when we were moving, I was going through all the old stuff. And my husband, mashallah, has so many socks, pairs of socks, you know, subhanAllah, that he's bought. And I was looking through them, and also the new socks were like in the bottom, and he would always wear the old socks. And I said, honey, I said, this box is your old socks, and these two boxes are the new socks. And why are you still wearing all these old socks versus the newer socks? Because you already have them. You're not going out there to buy anymore. It's already here. Why aren't you wearing the newer ones? And he goes, how can I wear new socks when Umar ibn al-Khattab would wear the same garment? It would be patched so many times. How can I do that? And I was like, well, honey, Umar radiallahu anhu did not have new socks sitting right there, okay? Either give these socks away or do something, because it's annoying me having too many of these pairs of socks. And so he just started laughing. So I actually got rid of some of the old socks, and I said, just wear these, and then we won't buy any more socks for you if that's how you feel, inshallah. So it just kind of gets down to... you know, where are you mentally, where are you physically, with your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, it, you know, I remember that when I stopped plucking my eyebrows, because this is another thing, you know, all the sisters feel pressure they have to pluck eyebrows. And I honestly have seen shuyukh that their wives pluck their eyebrows. And I was shocked because I'm like reading the hadith and I'm like, that's a sheikh's wife. What's up with this? This doesn't make any sense, right? And I remember I had gone to, like, to see some people after a funeral, a janaza, and the lady looked at me and she goes, oh, my God, are you not plucking your eyebrows? And I looked, I said, no. I said, I've given that up because, you know, we're not supposed to. And she goes, oh, but your eyebrows are so beautiful and it makes you look so beautiful. Just, it's okay, wear your hijab and wear, but don't stop plucking your eyebrows. And I looked at her straight up. I looked at her, I said, will you answer for my eyebrows in my grave and on the Day of Judgment? Will you answer for me? And she said, no. I said, then thank you. Your advice isn't one I need. And so you're always going to run into people like that. They're going to be all over the place. And then most of the time, that can be your family. And so you just have to learn to, you know, be positive and strong and keep working on making your own iman strong so that the fear pressure doesn't affect you, that you don't care. You know, it doesn't bother you. I mean, if someone comes to your face and they curse you out and they're just bad-mouthing you, and you have to be patient through it and you have to wait and you have to hold on. I mean, how can you be like that unless you have a strong iman, inshallah? So building your iman to become strong to overcome it.
On that note, Zahra, I got to end you there because we've reached the end of the show, which is actually quite unfortunate. So we're going to end there, even though I wish I could continue. So I just want to say, we always do this on internal conflicts. I just want to say, barakallahu fiki for Zahra for joining us today. I'm definitely going to have Sister Zahra on again. And inshallah, quickly before we end, tune in next week because we have another special guest. Inshallah, take care.